This is a song for my friends Jared and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know, some rock star dads who started a show. So here's the next episode.
Welcome to the Rockstar Dad Show right here on Adobe Radio or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're glad you're here. I'm Jarrett, and that's Gary over there.
Yeah. Hey, is my mic working?
Yeah. And later on, we're going to do an interview with Big Paul Thomas from Good Charlotte, and you'll notice that Gary doesn't say anything because his microphone just stopped working. But
looks like we got it fixed now.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. We didn't even have to mention that because we mentioned it later, but fuck it, right?
Yeah. Hey, man, how you doing?
I am good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, since the last time we did a show, we had Mother's Day, which, you know, it's kind of a weird time. Normally, we'd go out to brunch or something, and, you know, we're just sitting around the house. Guys, do anything special for Mother's Day?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And let me back up just a second. It's fucking weird that I don't know if you and I have talked about this. Maybe it was you that brought it up. I can't remember. But like most of the time, and especially in America, right, we go, how you doing? And like the stock answer is doing great, you know, whatever, or doing awesome or whatever. But right now, there's a genuine sort of wait for the answer now. I feel like you don't always get, I'm doing great. You know, now you're getting like, well, you know, I mean, we're making it, or, you know, we're, you know, despite all of the shit that's going on, we're okay, you know? What a weird time.
A few months ago and forever, how's it going was just like, we're going to get to the conversation in a second. You say fine and let's get going. And now it's like, genuinely, you know, hey, how's it going? And I'm not going to like glaze my eyes over when you start telling me something.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's a placeholder. It's like, you know, saying hello when you pick up the phone. That means what the fuck do you want? You know, and how's it going just means, hey, man, how's it going? Good. How are you? It's good. Here is what I want to talk about, you know?
And yeah, 100%.
So so Mother's Day was really weird. It was fine, but you know, we didn't see any moms. You know, Everett made Casey a card. We're lucky, and again, you know, we social distance with two other families, who they're allowed in our house, we're allowed in theirs, and that's it. So our kids can play together. I do have a bit of a social life. Whereas we can do movie nights or game nights or whatever. And so Casey and the other two moms drove up to Lake Texoma to her grandma's, lake house. And so they spent Friday night and most of Saturday there just chilling and got to get away. That was kind of, you know, the start of their Mother's Day weekend. And then, that Saturday night we all had dinner, and then Sunday, Casey basically just got to just chill, you know? I mean, Everett had made her a card, and we got her flowers, and I cleaned the house.
Whoa.
Yeah, and that was kind of it, man. She just kind of took the day to just kick it, and then we went over to our friend's house later that evening and just hung out, but it didn't really feel like a Mother's Day. It didn't, you know, we didn't have like a sit down lunch, and we couldn't see her mom because her mom lives right across the street from where we hang out, but we can't see her because Casey's stepdad is still going in to work all the time.
Yeah.
And so they're not that, you know, he's a, what do you call it? It's a essential. He works at a meat packing plant, or he runs a sausage plant, so he's essential. So yeah, to answer your question, it was weird. I mean, I sent my grandmother flowers. It even got weirder, actually. We sent my mom flowers, and they didn't get there because the florists don't have enough delivery drivers that are still working. So my mom got her flowers on Tuesday. My grandma got hers on Friday. It was just fucking weird.
It is weird. I've noticed that, like, for the first four maybe 6 weeks of all this pandemic lockdown, whatever, like my Amazon deliveries were still next day. And now stuff's like 3-4 days out, which is fine. I mean, you know, it's not like I need that whatever tomorrow, but our Mother's Day was weird too. Normally I'm at home on just any given day. I'm the cook. So Mother's Day, we don't always go out to brunch because a lot of times it's just a madhouse and it's hard to get in places. So normally I cook anyways. But we just sat on the patio this year, had a nice little brunch, drank some mimosas, had a real laid back thing. But it's so funny when this year, Tyler, when he woke up, he's keeping like teenager hours now. He's staying up too late and sleeping late. But he comes out of his room, hair disheveled, just kind of, you know, eyes still crossed, not quite awake yet. And, you know, just the normal routine. I would say, hey, how's it going? Did you sleep good? You know, the everyday thing. And I go, hey, you know, it's Mother's Day. You should go tell mom good morning and happy Mother's Day. She was still in bed with me. I was the only one up. He got up next. And his eyes just brightened up. He's like, oh, I got an idea. I'm like, okay. And he ran to the kitchen. And I'm like, what's he going to get her? Is he going to make her like a microwaved breakfast sandwich or, you know? And he goes to the fridge and he grabs a Truly and takes her a Truly in bed. He goes, I know you'd like this.
Well, did she open it and drink it?
You know, she saved the Truly till later in the afternoon when we went and swam in the pool. But she did like the gesture.
Yeah, that is like, I love it. So Jack, when Jack was really little, man, he probably was maybe 4 or 5. He Linus was asleep upstairs in the old house, and he went to go wake up Uncle Linus and just brought him a Budweiser. Just like, here you go. Good morning. You know, like,
this is what you drink. Yeah. So here you go.
Like you said, like Tyler said, I know you'd like this. So here you go. You know, enjoy this thing. That's so great. Yeah. Well, and it has to be weird for you too, because your mom is right down the street and you guys can't get together. Or do you guys get together and stay away from each other, or what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, we'll kind of do the like sit on the patio type thing, you know, and stay a few feet apart and all that. And like, you know, the kids aren't, Mia wants to run up and hug her and give her kisses and stuff. And, you know, they're not able to do that, but we are now going, I'll go over to her house and have coffee and, you know, sometimes go have happy hour on her patio and stuff like that.
Good.
But
yeah,
you know, we're not spending a ton of time together, which is weird.
Yeah. That's the other thing, right? Is that, so we can see Shanna and Dennis, Casey's parents, sometimes just like sitting outside and things like that, but they can't, just like you said, they can't run up and hug them. They, you know, that's fucking weird. I mean, and you know, so back to me, because everything always comes back to me. I am a hugger from fucking way back, and it's driving me fucking crazy. Like I haven't hugged anybody. I mean, so I finally started just hugging the Pitsingers and the Fishers, because you know I'm just like, guys, I've got to get back. I got to hug somebody. Like that's what I do. But it's fucking weird, you know. Just not.
It is. I'm not a big hugger. So, I mean, to me, this is great. I'm like, I don't know you that well. I don't have to worry about hugging you because I didn't really want to anyways. But it is weird of the like, well, we're still going to stay 6 feet apart and I'm not going to shake your hand. And, you know, like it's weird. It's just weird. And I see it in Tyler. Like he doesn't know. It's weird for him to not go hug grandmama or, you know, if we do get the Amazon delivery or the pizza delivery or whatever's coming to the door, like he's kind of freaked out by that person at the door. Yeah. And, you know, he knows that there's this disease, whatever virus going around, but he kind of just doesn't grasp exactly what we're doing, what we're living in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, like you said, I mean, this is the one of the biggest lessons I've learned from, there's two big lessons that I've learned from all of this. The one is that the kids aren't going to remember, you know, that deliveries were delayed or that you didn't go to this restaurant or that you know, that there was a shortage of toilet paper or all this. They're going to remember, man, you know, dad came out and threw the ball with me at in the middle of the day. And I, you know, like, you know, my recess was with my dad or, you know, taking a walk with my mom or, you know, going around and looking at the ducks with Dad, you know, and they're going to remember, you know, God, man, this was a time where we ate lunch and dinner together every day, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think they're going to have that. There's going to be a lot more family time, memories, and bonding and relationship building, which is great. I mean, depending on what age the kid is, Mia's not going to remember anything, but I think Tyler will, you know, he's not going to remember how weird it was, but he's going to have a memory of, yeah, I didn't leave the house for 3 months, you know, like,
yeah, he's going to have, I mean, cause I remember every grade, you know, so he's going to remember that.
He'll remember sports was canceled. We didn't get to do anything.
Yeah.
You know?
And that
he'll
did,
have a
he
little
did,
bit of that.
He left for school for fucking spring break and never went back, you know?
Right.
Like, I mean, yeah. That's he's going to remember that. Like, you know, we just, half my fucking year was gone.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to stay away from harping on homeschool. You know, it's not my favorite thing, but I do have to tell you another story about homeschooling.
Right. Well, you got, you know, it's relevant to this podcast because
yeah.
Everybody who listens to this is affected by it one way or another. They're either the kids that are having to do it, you know, probably at a different level, but or their parents who are having to take their kids through this shit, or their friends are complaining about it all the time. So it's relevant.
Yeah. Well, every subject basically wants the kids to write, right?
Yep.
You have, and they want you to write questions. Now math is all word questions. They want you to write. They want, I mean, everything is writing, right? And so one of the friction points for me and Tyler while doing this homeschool is he doesn't elaborate. And I get that. Whenever I was a kid, I didn't elaborate. My teacher always tried to get me to explain more or whatever. And he gives one word answers and it becomes a friction point, right?
Sure.
And so one of the questions the other day was he had to write a letter to the incoming third graders. And so instead of just having him write the letter, I'm trying to ask him questions before he writes the letter to get him to think about things to write to this incoming third grader. And so I'm like, what was one of your favorite things about third grade? And he goes, fun. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, you got to give me more than a one word answer. I'm like, when someone asks you a question, you got to kind of explain and go into something. And I was like, I'll give you an example. Just ask me anything, right?
Yeah.
Leans back and he goes, what's your favorite color?
Oh.
And I'm like, it took all the tension out of the moment. I'm laughing my ass off. I'm like, you little smart ass.
Yeah.
Came up with the perfect question.
So he's thinking, you know, I mean.
Yeah, he's not a dummy. He's a smart kid. I never thought he was a dummy. I know he's smart, but I'm just like.
So funny.
Oh, my God. You little smart whippersnapper.
Yeah. What is your favorite color? Oh, man. Fucking gotcha. Gotcha,
yeah.
Bitch.
I mean, to me, I'm like, school's over. You don't need this stuff. You got it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yawn.
Oh, sorry. Did I bore you?
No, you kept me up fucking drinking last night at the band meeting.
Yeah, I hit snooze a few times before getting up to come call you this morning.
Yeah,
for this.
Same. Yeah, so we had a band meeting last night. Our band meetings basically are us on Facebook and YouTube just drinking a bunch and talking. And we had Mike Herrera from MXPX on last night and had a great time. Had some fans on for the first time. That was cool.
Yeah, I'd kind of been back on the diet, not drinking, not doing anything. And, you know, we're all stressed out during this situation.
Yeah.
And so I needed a good night of hanging out in the office with my pals getting hammered.
Well, so I started with Miller Lite, ran out of Miller Lite. I had to switch to Michelob Ultra, which sucked. And then we were taking shots of whiskey as we do. So the only time I drink whiskey is with you guys. And then I switched to wine.
Oh, boy.
And so I'm not hungover, but I have a bit of a cloudy head. I want a diet soda so bad, but I don't buy them. I need to go get one, but I didn't want to be a dick and make you and Paul wait for me for the first time in my life. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some more shit. And then after that, Big Paul Thomas from Good Charlotte will be on the show. Well, by now, I think all of us have figured out that textbooks and workbooks and even educational websites can make learning boring. You gotta check out Little Passports. It's a subscription box, and it's full of toys and games for children of all ages, and it educates as well as entertains. The Little Passports box is delivered right to your door every month. Each package contains exciting hands-on learning for kids 3 and up. Try cool experiments with the Science Expeditions Pack, or learn about what makes every state so great with the USA Edition subscription. There are even boxes for little ones like Gary's daughter Mia that is just right for their learning level. Little Passports has the parent-tested, parent-approved seal. For $12.95 a month, there's tons to explore from your own home. And just for our listeners, Little Passports is offering 15% off any subscription. That means your child could be flying rockets or looking through a microscope in no time. Use offer code ROCKSTAR at checkout for 15% off your order. That's ROCKSTAR at littlepassports.com. Welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show right here on Adobe Radio. And wherever you listen to podcasts, hey, we like to hear from you. So send us a Facebooks or a, we do have some good emails that we should get to on our next show. So remind me to remind you to remind me.
I'm going to write down a reminder to remind us.
You know, I want to talk about something that's pretty sensitive. And that is because this has happened a couple of times, actually, during this quarantine to people close to me. And it's happening literally right now. I just got a text from my wife. And so the dog that she got as a teenager has still been living with her parents. And he is getting put down right now. And I don't want to just like talk about, I'm not trying to bring the room down, but I do just want to talk about the loss of a pet and how just insane that is for people, you know, about, you know, how, you know, I mean, I'll back up, you know, when my ex-wife and I, our first baby was our dog. And, you know, as we got divorced and we actually shared custody of it, so it went with the kids. So Cappy would, if the, you know, we were week to week. We still are. We were week to week. But the kids are teenagers now, so it's pretty much wherever the fuck they want to be. You
know? Yeah, they're playing by their own rules. Yeah, at this point.
Exactly. So, but, and, which is fine. That's totally, I get it. You know, I would want to be with my friends, or I'd want
just to go off on a different tangent. I mean, that's the right thing to do. Whenever I was a kid and my parents divorced and we got to the age where we had social lives and we're wanting to do our own things, like the times that my dad was like, this is my weekend, you have to come, like, things didn't go well.
No,
you know, like,
yeah,
it's not a good way to go about it.
Exactly. Yeah, totally agree. And you know what? I mean, there'll be times when they are, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, my son and I will be able to hang and go to football games. And, you know, I don't want to fuck that up. So I'm mindful of, you know, that hopefully, you know, with all things considered, hopefully we're on this planet for a while and, you know, I've got time. So, anyway, but having to put Cappy down and like be in the room and do that, man, was sincerely the worst thing that I've ever been through. And I've been in the room when people have died, you know, at the hospital and all of that. That was brutal. But, you know, just watching that dog take its last breath is something that still fucking haunts me. It's just the fucking worst thing I've ever been through. And, so, but it's crazy because, you know, obviously this is happening right now to Casey's mom and to my wife who's downstairs and going to be dealing with this probably for a few days. But it's just a family pet. Just, it's just so, think about it. It's like everybody loves it. You know, it's like the kids, you know, like right now, Everett's down there and he's got these two huge dogs laying at his feet and a really small dog in his lap. And he's doing his reading on his computer. You know, it's like you just love these little fuckers so much, you know? And then when it's time to say goodbye, it is, I really do think that it's harder than it is to say bye to some people, you know?
I agree with that. A few years ago when Lucy died, I mean, that was, Lucy was our first baby too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was a big relationship changer for Anik and I. Like whenever we got the dog, things changed from like whenever we were on tour talking about, hey, when we get home, we're going to go do this fun thing. It's like there was months where when we're gone, all we talked about was how's the dog doing?
Yeah. You know? Like, right.
And whenever, whenever Tyler was born, we brought him home and like she became a protector of him,
yeah.
You know, and she just became such a huge part of our life. And it's, they fill the house. They're like, character, spirit, they're whatever, whenever you have that pet and say Anik and the kids would go see her mom for the weekend, like having an empty house without that dog in there is just empty.
Oh,
it's
man.
A different empty.
Yeah. You know, it's funny.
Whenever the dog passed away, I mean, it was heartbreaking and I was depressed for months.
Yeah. It just really, you know, what a great point, because you're right. Like I remember after Cappy passed away, like I would just see her in my peripheral vision because yeah. She was supposed to be walking, you know, when I'm in this room, she just walks to this, you know, and this is where she goes and this is what she does. You know, and, but you're, God, the emptiness, you're so right. Like I've had days where, we don't do this anymore, but we used to use an outside groomer and, now the groomer comes to the house like everything else, you know, but, we'd go drop the dogs off and then Casey'd be gone and the kids would be at school and like be even just like them just not being here for the day, just like a house where there's just nothing else is crazy. And then once that happens, you know, where you actually lose this pet, you know, and so, and there's other things to think about too. I mean, so when Cappy passed away, I had just rescued Allie, about a year before. And so then there's that Allie having to deal with it. Like, well, what the fuck's going on here? So, you know, they have another dog and, it's, you know, a bit younger, I believe, than Frankie. And so, but they're just always together. They're pals, you know? So.
Well, to that point, I mean, it affects the kids too.
Yeah.
Whenever Lucy passed away for, I mean, a good 2 months, every time I put Tyler to bed, he was still upset, still crying. Why'd my dog die? And part of the putting him to bed process was like, I created a photo album on my phone of just Lucy pictures. And we'd look through pictures of Lucy and he wanted to hear the story of how we got her. I mean, it affects the whole family.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, the kids, my kids still talk about Cappy as though, you know, it was yesterday. And you know, it's just a difficult thing. And so, you know, the Fishers just found out that their dog has, I think it's kidney cancer or something fucking crazy, that they're just like, this is it. Like the dog's got a couple of months and, you know, they came over the day they found out and like, you're just, you know, it's literally, you know, like you just want to comfort everybody because you know what it feels like. And man, it seems like every other day. And I guess it's just because we're getting to be of a certain age, you know, and people all got dogs, you know, when we hit our fucking 20s, 25s, you know, 30s or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like everybody's got these 12, 15, 16 year old dogs, you know, and it just somebody it's don't you feel like it's like every fucking day on Facebook, somebody's like, well, you know, we had to put Tiny down or whatever. And it's like, God damn, man. And like, it's something that I can literally say, man, I know exactly how you feel. And I mean it, you know?
Yeah, it's crushing.
It is fucking crushing.
I'm sorry that that's happening for them right now.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go ahead and end this episode, but we're, you know, you guys stick around. It gets happier when Big Paul Thomas comes on. For any of those out there, you guys who have ever lost a pet, you know, thoughts and mojo being sent to you, and you know, just love those little guys, you know, because yep. they're super awesome. I'm going to go down there and fucking hold my dogs. Well, not hold them because they're fucking enormous, but y'all stick around for my interview with Big Paul Thomas and Gary's mic not working.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show. I'm excited about this one because it's fun when we have old friends on the, and I, by old, I mean like longtime friends, because they're not as old as me, you know, like, Big Paul Thomas, everybody, say hello, Gary.
Hi, everybody.
How are you, man?
Well, you know, all things considered, I'm not that bad. It's been a good time to reflect upon what I have and be grateful for everything that I have, my family, my house, you know, like, all those things. So it's been a really weird time, but it's also been a time of, you know, reflection, and which has been good for me. So yeah, I'm doing okay.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like, at an odd time too, because it seems like Good Charlotte was starting to do more sporadic stuff. You guys were starting to tour more and like get out there and work some, and like us, I'm sure that this is pretty much it for the year for you guys, I would think. And
yeah, crazy, right?
We're gonna have a lot of time to reflect, I guess, huh?
Reflect on the choices that we made picking up a guitar.
Now, let's talk about, because obviously, you know, everybody gets to talk to you all the time about music, and that's what you're asked about a lot. But here on this show, we like to talk about you being a dad, and we got to see a great example of that because you were one of the ones on the Warped Tour cruise that brought your family. So introduce us to I believe you have a
family.
Yeah, I think you have a little girl, right?
Yeah, I have a little girl and a little boy. I have a nine-year-old daughter, Willow, and a 7-year-old son, Theodore.
Wow, so they were, pretty young. What was the cruise? 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, so they're like 7 and 5 at the time.
Yeah, so
it was great.
It was a lot of fun, but you got, again, you know, you had your hands full. We talked to Derek from Mayday Parade, and he's the other one that you just basically every time we saw you, you were in a bathing suit chasing a child on that cruise.
what are you gonna do?
Yeah, so I mean, a 9-year-old, so that means, you know, you became a dad, you know, kind of in the heyday, so to speak. Much, you know, I mean, gosh, 9 years ago, let's think about that. Well, sort of, yeah, I mean, you know, like post-heyday.
Yeah, it wasn't like selling out arena time, that's for sure.
Right, but, you know.
Yeah, but we're still active, yeah.
Yeah, and.
Right when we had Willow, we just put out an album. So it was like the same month. She was born and an album came out. And then I was home for a few weeks and then gone for 2 months for that, you know, that first 2 month promo run that you usually do on album launch or whatever.
Sure.
So that was terrible.
Yeah.
But then the son, I had 2 years off when he, or like 3 or 4 years off when he was born. So I got both experiences and I definitely enjoyed being home more, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely, night and day. I have similar experiences. I mean, wait, our first big record was coming out whenever Emma was born. And, you know, so I did that whole thing. And then, both older kids, same thing, you know, right around an album, you know, there we go. But my young guy, you know, it's, you're right. It's nice to be home for just the day to day shit and not just have to fly home for dance competitions.
It's also just really nice to like take that extra weight off of my wife's shoulders, you know, because they deal with a lot, and she's an amazing woman, and I'm a very lucky man, but you know, I like to be here to help out instead of just, you know, listening to it from the road where you can't do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, so that let's just talk about that. Let's talk about what changed. I mean, you know, as you said, you guys, I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, as far as those of us in our genre are concerned, you know, you guys are up there in the big five, really. And, you know, headlining arenas and just how did life change? You know, was it an instant change for you when Willow was born, you know, and you're just like, holy shit, I'm a dad. Like, I mean, you know, it, well, like you said, she's born and then you leave for 2 months, you know, was it just an instant difference to feel on the road?
Yeah, it was immediate. Like, it's, you know, how everybody has those cheesy things that they say, like, oh, you don't understand until you have one. It's going to change your life. It's true.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, you know, I was very like, I don't care if I'm alive. I don't care. Let's drink, you know, and all of a sudden that changes very, very quickly, you know. Your priorities get reallocated, and yeah, it's just you know, like, I came home from tour and I'm watching Willow and I'm standing in the backyard, she's in her little rocker thing, and I'm smoking a cigarette with a glove on, and I'm realizing, like, this is fucking stupid, you know, like,
yeah,
why am I doing this? And so, you know, and then I quit smoking and I don't smoke anymore. It wasn't that easy. It was like, you know, an off and on process, but it's like they give you this inspiration to want to be better. So, like, cause I want to be around to take care of them, you know? So
of course. Yeah.
Now I only drink, like, you know, moderately too much.
Yeah. That's one of those things that, I guess for some of us that doesn't change, but, you know, at least, you know, it's like, okay, well, I'll drink after the soccer game, you know, instead of
before. Exactly. Or if some parents are cool, you know, we have our coffee cups and we're standing next to each other and who knows what's inside.
Exactly. Yeah. We have mimosa baseball Sundays sometimes. It's, that's a thing, you know,
Dude, sports is fun.
Sports is fun.
Yeah.
It's the, that's the thing. That's the beauty of the Yeti. You know, it's just nobody knows what the hell's in there. I have a story I tell of us coming to a Good Charlotte show one time in New York, me and Eric, and we came. First of all, the whole thing was hilarious because it was just so your crowd that, like, we just walked up and we didn't even have to say that we were on the list. Like, even the security people just, you know, ushered us in or whatever. It was just, you know, it was like, it was so New York-y, you know, and we came in or whatever. We watched your show from the crowd and you came directly from the stage to me and Eric and you're just, come on, we're going upstairs. And, like, there's just this line of Jaeger shots already on the bar or whatever. And I'm just like, oh shit. It's going to be one of those nights. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of our times together ended up being those nights, but, you know, tit for tat or whatever.
There you go. Now let's just talk about that. So let's talk about what the kids are into. I mean, you're saying sports are fun. What are your kids doing? Not right now, because they're not doing anything right now, but, you know, normally.
Yeah. Well, today we're pretty excited. Today we're going to go cherry picking. They have this whole, like, social distance prepared cherry picking setup, and that's going to be our little family activity today. It's like one of the first times we've gotten out in a while, and it's actually sunny today, so it's pretty pumped on that. But my son, his Fortnite handle is Theo Mahomes. To let you know where he's at in his head.
Right.
With who he wishes his dad was.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how it goes, right? It's like yeah. You said, you know, we're in highly successful bands, you know, that happened before he was born. And now yeah. Patrick Mahomes.
So he's super into sports. He does pretty well. He holds his own. He's pretty quick. He's got good reflexes. So it'll be interesting to see some of my siblings and, like, uncles and stuff are athletes. So I don't know. He really wants to play drums, which is great. I haven't set up a kit yet for him. I kind of just have him working on a pad with sticks.
Yeah.
my daughter got into piano and she takes piano lessons, but so I didn't grow up taking piano lessons, and people that I know that did usually don't have good stories about it, you know, and like they didn't stick with it. So I'm not going to try to force her to do anything. It's whatever she wants to do.
Yeah.
But I do feel like everybody in my family is going to play music just from being around me and having a studio in the house. And every instrument you can think of is here in the house. So you'd have to just really just avoid music to not be able to play it growing up in this house, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, so. that's the thing is like, and it's funny because, you know, my two older kids are 16 or 17 and 14 and, you know, they both dabbled, but really just no real interest in keeping it up. And then my 7-year-old takes piano lessons and he's doing great. And he, you know, he also wants to play drums. So we're going to do the same thing probably this Christmas. It's going to be time. But, you know, here's the thing about piano, and I say this all the time. You know, yeah, a lot of kids are kind of forced to do it, but there's nobody who is an adult that knows how to play the piano that looks back and goes, man, I wish I didn't know how to play the piano. You know, like, it's just so... like,
of course, you know, yeah.
Piano is, first of all, once you learn to play that, you can play any other instrument because it's just mechanics. That's the first thing, obviously, as you know. The other thing is if your son learns to play that, he will have the hottest chick at every single party if the house has a piano.
Right, right, exactly. It's one of those things where if there's like a piano set up like on a street corner or something, you know how they have, or in a hotel or something like that.
Totally.
Be one of those people that can just sit down and make everybody's head turn like, ooh, who's doing that?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Totally get played.
I want to be that guy so bad, but all I can play is jump, you know, like it's.
That's a good one, though. Those are some powerful chords at the beginning. Hell yeah.
Right, and then, so what,
sucked up.
What sports does he play?
Flag football was the last one we did. Baseball season got canceled.
Yeah.
He also likes soccer.
Yeah.
Those are his jams.
Those are the big ones. Yeah, we've been through all of that. My oldest son is he's our dabbler, and he has played everything from lacrosse to football with pads, flag football, baseball, basketball. Again, you know, and he's good at everything. Whereas dad, that's me. I was really good rooting and being on the bench. And, but you know, just nothing sticks, but you know, it's like too often, I think kids are just kind of forced to pick something too early. And it sounds like, you know, you're like me and that, like, you know, if you want to try something, try it. You know, if you don't dig it, then, you know, we'll move on to something else.
Yeah, totally. I'm not going to force them to do anything.
Now,
we kind of forced them to watch Survivor. And that kind of worked out, though, because now we're all huge Survivor fans, and that's our family show.
That's so funny. I made my two older kids watch Naked and Afraid with me all the time. And
that was a good one. Yeah, we used to watch that.
Heck yeah. So speaking of that, like, what are some family things that you guys, I mean, you know, do you guys have like a favorite vacation spot or something that you guys do? I mean, the cherry picking thing, actually, I'm gonna be honest, that sounds cool as shit. I'm kind of jealous that you're doing that today, because that sounds like a memory.
Yeah, I've never done it before, so it'll be an experience. And yeah, it's gonna be a memory. But you know, like how it's been right now with the homeschooling and stuff, we're just together the whole time.
Yeah,
everything is a family activity at this point, except for when me and Diana both have to take Zoom calls or something, you know. And we really like traveling together. That's been like one of the things we like to do a lot. We go camping. A lot of times we'll drive from here in Oakland to Seattle, where her brother lives, and like stopping all along the way on the coast. We love doing that. And then her mom, my wife's mom, my mother-in-law lives in Hawaii. So my wife is from there. We'd like to go there and visit as well.
Sure.
I really like going there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, the By the way, Gary's not chiming in because his mic isn't working, and we know you've got stuff to do, so I'm just going to carry on with you, and we'll get him fixed shortly.
Okay, I was curious.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gary. Miss you, buddy.
He's just shrugging his shoulders over there on the camera. Hawaii. I mean, good Lord. Yeah, what a fun place to have grandma and grandpa live. It's like it's not going to be a chore to get them to want to go down and hang with grandma for a month in the summer, you know?
No, especially now where like a 6-hour flight means 6 hours of their iPad. They don't even like get mad about that, you know?
Yeah. So. That's like I think it's like a 15-hour flight from Texas. That is how odd the United States of America is, you know, like it's,
well, yeah, you're really south.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and then the whole Seattle thing. I mean, there's just so much, you know, just pretty stuff up there and places to go and hike and, you know, just kind of just get outside, you know, and, where we live, we get a couple of months of that. But really, you know, here in just a few weeks, it's going to be so hot that it becomes like a ghost town outside. I mean, kids don't even go outside anymore unless they have a pool. So, you know, it's nice that you live in an area where there is stuff like that to drive to.
Oh, man, I grew up in Maryland where, you know, it's hot and muggy during the summers. And I was a little pudgy, sweaty kid. I never went outside. I hated it. That was what attracted me to California more than any of the scene stuff, you know. It was the weather. I definitely wasn't into LA, wasn't into the traffic, definitely wasn't into the people that much, but that's not totally true. There's a lot of cool people out here. They're just from other places.
Yeah, it's a transplant place, yeah.
And yeah. So then my brother moved to the Bay Area, and I visited up here, and I was like, wow, the weather's perfect up here. It's like t-shirt at day, hoodie at night. That's my jam. So I love it up here, but it's crazy how there's a beach right there, and I'm so stoked. I live near the water, but it's freezing, and I never go, and I never get in. The beaches are so frigid cold.
Right, because you're pretty far up there up north. That's what I was going to ask you, is what drew you, you know, up there to the and also like why Oakland and not San Francisco. I mean, I know San Francisco is a beating, and like you said, traffic, and it's also fucking expensive as shit. Like I was just telling my wife that the other day. Some show was in San Francisco, and I'm just like, man, that place, I remember being in the van and having to fill up the gas tank and being like, I don't know that we can afford to buy this gas.
<It's fucking expensive. laughs> Right now it's the cheapest I've ever seen it here. It's below $3. Crazy.
Do you know how much gas is right here? It's Paul, insane. Paul, gas right now in Texas is $1.15.
What?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. It is $1.15.
Crazy.
So weird.
Because nobody's driving.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, that's, of course, they are starting to open up our state. You guys, you know, California will obviously probably do the right thing because you guys are conscious of things, but, They're
yeah, the Bay Area especially.
Yeah, you guys just completely shut down.
Very aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we've been very. My wife was like calling this stuff as it was developing, so like we were stocked and prepared before everybody else thought to be stocked and prepared.
Yeah.
And this place locked down like immediately, and. We haven't. I think we've only eaten out. We've ordered out food 3 times. me and my wife have cooked every meal. We're professional dishwashers now.
That's pretty amazing, actually, because we eat out. I mean, just everything delivers here now. So, and I'm sure it's like that too.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
and we've had some friends point out, like, well, you know, we're trying to support the restaurants. We want to stay open, and like, oh, that is a good point to like continue to order out and stuff. But what it forced my wife to figure out was how to cook Indian food, and she nailed it. She's like, I really want Indian food. We don't really know how to make it, you know. So she's been working at it, and it's, you know, she's been crushing it. I'm a very lucky man.
That is
definitely
awesome.
Quarantine 15 on daddy.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. You know, saying, and then we've been, you know, like to hang out with our friends and, you know, and me with my band and stuff like that, we've been doing just like hangouts online, which is, you know, that's like we said, that usually includes copious amounts of alcohol. So yeah, the COVID 15, maybe the COVID 25 for this guy. You know, I mean, are you keeping up with like everything going on in the whole music world with just like the closing of some just insanely historic venues and just, you know, lots of bands taking it online and things like that. You know, you watching all that go down?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been cool seeing everybody try to keep it going, you know, trying to keep the entertainment going, you know, performing from their houses or like streaming different ways or trying to do different stuff. It's been interesting. I definitely wonder what this means for the future of a lot of stuff, you know. It definitely like makes it seem like there's room for, did you ever see that movie Ready Player One?
I have not seen
that. Or read the book?
No.
Well, it's kind of like the world is so crowded, there's nowhere to go. So everybody puts on VR goggles and that's how they go to work. They go to school. They do everything. It's like in a virtual reality.
Ah.
And I mean, tell me like doing all of your business and work through Zoom isn't like just a goggle set or head goggle set away from that, you know? So I don't know, virtual concerts in the future, you know?
Yeah.
I know Benji and Joel are working on something right now with their website, Veep. They're trying to provide a platform for artists to, give, or like put on a streamed concert, but for like, a price so that there's some like compensation there.
Yeah.
So yeah, everybody's trying, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I don't know. It's all weird. It's like, what's going to ever stop live shows? That's where the bread and butter in this music industry is, you know, for people like us, especially, you know, like we're not playing in millions of CDs and stuff, or nobody really is anymore.
Right.
So it's like, that's the live shows. So where's the money then if there's no live shows? Like, wow, this is, it raises a lot of eyebrows, you know, and it's like, what's going to happen? So hopefully everybody like does their thing and it calms down and things go back to somewhat normal. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm definitely watching. And
it's definitely,
I've been a big fan of the people that have put on shows and stuff. I thought it's really cool.
Yeah. And you mentioned Veeps. That's a cool, you're going to start to see, I think, people listening going to start to hear a lot more about that. And you know, and honestly, from a non-musician standpoint, they're kind of like, you know, you'll be just mostly hearing it from your from who you're going to watch and stuff. But it's super cool platform. I did a tour with them a couple of weeks ago. I've been using Stageit for 10 years, and I'm a creature of habit.
So, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I hate change, but the site that they've set up is really cool in the way that it works for the artists and stuff like that. So I think all live streaming is becoming something that people are, you know, accepting of because there's no alternative. So again, like I've told this story a few times, but Stageit 10 years ago, like, you know, it was awesome for a few years. And then it just kind of like, I couldn't get people to come watch online shows. And you know, now obviously they're having their biggest year ever. I mean, they're doing as much in a month as they've been doing in years now. And so there is a legitimacy, I think, to some of this online stuff where people are going, okay, well, this is kind of cool watching this show. And, you know, I put him on the TV and I get my underwear and pour a glass of wine and just sit here and watch, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, but then in talk, you know, I was talking to Frank Turner the other day, and I do tend to agree that, like, I think there's probably some kinds of music that will be fine with, like, drive-in concerts and things like that, but not ours, you know, like, I don't think that our kind of music, our kinds of shows, even for social distancing or half full venues or anything like that, that's not why people go. You go because of the vibe, because you want to be sweaty, or, you know, you either want to be in the freaking pit singing every single word, or you want to at least be there to watch that, you know? And so it's a scary aspect of things, to where it's as the sale of, you know, CDs and things like that went away, and, you know, we switched to streaming, and now we're like, oh shit, you know, this is legitimately our livelihood. And you know, what's going to happen? I think that we'll be fine in the long run, but I think it's going to be a bit of a wait, and that's just me. You know, I don't know. We shall see.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I mean, I miss it. You know, it's funny. I am one of those guys that gets excited to book tours, and then when it's time to go, I'm like, oh God, I don't want to go. You know, like, I want to stay here with my dogs and my kids and my wife.
Yeah.
But right now I'm in a place where I'm just like, okay, I am fucking ready, you know, and whether it's,
yeah, I'm still an avid show goer. That's my favorite thing about living where I live. There's somebody coming through, every week, you know, a lot of times I'll know them. But like, I miss going to shows. I was supposed to go to Rage and run the Jewels. I'm glad I saw Refused like right before this all happened. It was like the weekend before California shut down.
Yeah,
I was stoked about that. But like, that's what it's about too, though. Like, being in the building with the people that wrote the songs that affected you so much. It's, you know, like, yeah, the loud sounds, the sweat, the whole aesthetics of the show. But it's also like being as close as possible to that person that wrote those lyrics, that did that to your heart, you know, or like played that bass line that really gets you going or whatever. Or like watching Deftones, I'm staring at Abe the whole time, just like, that is like the best drummer I've ever seen, you know?
Yeah.
Just that kind of stuff. And I don't know if that will, you know, be the same with the online thing. But just like you said, when, you know, CDs switched to streaming, we just had to adapt. And yeah, persevere, and that's just, it's gonna have to be that again, you know. The bands that tough it out and keep going and stay together will keep going and stay together.
Yeah, you know, and that's just it, right? It's about the perseverance. It's through all of these things and the change. And you know, our bands are similar in age. Like, we started out selling cassettes, yeah, you know, and then cassettes went to CDs, and then, you know, and then you know, when we were touring, you know, we didn't even have a website or a cell phone or a, you know, We were just talking about this last night. You know, we had a map in the van, you know.
Yep.
And so, you know, you figure it out. I just feel, you know, I hope that sports and live music are able to rebound and get back to that, to the way that it was at some point, because that's just, there's just a feeling, as you said, in all of that. There's a feeling of, you know, watching a freaking touchdown pass, you know, live. And there's a feeling, like you said, of, you know, of seeing the Descendants live and just like, you know, bringing you to tears, just because it's just like, oh my God, this is the reason I do this, you know? And
what a great live band they are.
Oh,
right?
Fuck, yeah, man. Yeah. Just, I cried twice the last time I saw them. I was literally just like, I've just
tears.
Just tears, just like, my God, like, this is it. And that's what's funny too, you know, you mentioned, you know, yeah, it's funny, you, most of the time, you know, the guy, like, I'm like watching them and it's them, but like, you know, three of them are in my phone, but like, it's not like that, you know, while I'm watching them on the stage, you know what I mean? It's like, ah, but like you said, just that feeling. And I want people to have that, you know, and I want to have that, you know. It's the, that's the thing. Well, dude, man, I've kept you longer than promised. We will talk more about your kids next time, because we inevitably, we always end up talking about music, whether we want to or not. So that's just the way it
that's,
is.
It's just, it's in us. We can't avoid it.
Dude, I mean, again, I saw it firsthand. You know, you're an amazing rock star dad, and I'm glad that we've gotten to drink together over the years, and hopefully I will see you again soon. And Gary says the same thing, but he just doesn't have a microphone.
Yeah, Gary. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, dude, enjoy the cherry picking. And, dude, as always, it's a real pleasure, man.
Yeah, it's always great talking with you.
All right, buddy.
Take care of yourself, too, all right?
All right, man. Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
Later.
This is a song for my friends Jared and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know. Some rock star dads who started a show. Until the next episode.